goes.
I got two yeses and one no, and that's Bible, right? That's actually in the Bible.
I was incredibly annoyed.
You can do it!
I remember one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten from my therapist.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Money, 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 money. And I had $0, like no money.
Now I would cry if I made that money.
You've never made money before. You've been broke. All of the money is new.
Credit myth that all credit is bad.
A survey from the Federal Reserve says at the end of 2015, many Americans were struggling to make ends meet, even several years after the Great Recession. In a survey of more than 50,000 random U.S. adults, 31% said they were barely, quote, getting by. That's down from the 38% reported by the Fed 2 years ago, but it still means 76 million Americans are on weak financial footing. According to one report, 22% of employed adults indicate they're either working multiple jobs, doing informal work for pay in addition to their main job, or both. The report says 46% of Americans say they don't have enough saved to cover a $400 emergency expense. In an April Gallup poll, 60% of Americans said they felt the economy is getting worse.
What's up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Woo woo. So today we're talking about money.
Money, 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 money.
Money. I should have done that. That's going to be recorded. I'm going to regret that when I listen to this. But for real, we are talking about being fiscally fit on today's Corporate Homie episode. I like to think of this as like, homie, get your money straight.
Get your house in order.
Get your financial house in order. Most people recognize that they should be physically fit and in shape, but they don't put the same kind of time into their finances. And when Bemetra had the idea for this episode, I was really excited because I remember when I was a very young homie and my financial house was not in order. And I read this great book that you can find in the Corporate Homie store called Girl, Get Your Money Straight. And it really was a wake-up call for me as a young homie about getting my financial life together.
And I just remember when I was a young homie also, how much stress not having my financial life in order would cause. I mean, everything from going on a business work travel, I think, do I have enough money on my credit?
Do you remember that time I went on a business trip and I ended up having to stay longer? And I had to stay like a week or something. And I had to call you because I had just graduated from law school and I had $0, like no money. And you, because see, you have to have a dear sweet sister like I have. And you worked it out with the hotel and you like sent your credit card and you like signed the form and pre-authorized. Like that, girl, you is all right. You hear me?
My point is that, right, there's a lot of stress though when you're
right,
when your financial house is in order. I mean, I remember being terrified, like, what if my car breaks down? Like, I have a horrible credit score. I can't get a new car without asking one of my parents to co-sign with me, things like that.
So, and unlike some of our majority counterparts, we don't usually have parents to call. And so it's even more important for us to be fiscally fit.
Right. So we're going to talk about that today. And the first step in being in good fiscal shape is savings. Life really is not so much about how much money you make. It's about how much of it that you keep. And I remember when I first graduated from college and I was making, at the time, I thought a whopping $28,800 a year. And you couldn't tell me nothing.
Girl, you was balling. Oh.
But now I would cry if I made that money. Anyway, my uncle said, hey, remember to put some money away. My uncle Dickie said, I said, I don't make that much money. I can't put money away. He said, even if you don't put anything but $10 a month away, that's $10 a month that you don't owe somebody on.
That's so funny because what I remember is Uncle Dickie telling me to make savings a habit, right? He said to me, when I first started practicing and I was a law clerk, like you said, I'm not making much money. And he said, it'll get easier. Like if you get into the habit of saving, you know, $100, I think is what I saved at the time a month. I put $50 a check away. As you make more money, that $100 seems easier and easier and easier to save. And so one of the things that I learned is that as you accumulated money, it gave you freedom to do things that you wanted to do. One of the first things that I want the homies to understand is that disciplined people have freedom.
They have choices.
Yep, they get more choices.
Right, that's a great point. Great point. The first rule of savings is to pay yourself. And the way that I pay myself, and I still do it today, is I work at an organization that will allow you to direct deposit different amounts of your paycheck into different accounts. I take a certain amount of money off of each check and direct deposit it into my savings account. I would encourage everybody to pick up some kind of systematic monthly contribution and doing it this way. Doesn't matter if you choose a dollar amount or a percentage, the key is to do it each month. And you gotta treat this just like you do any other quote unquote bill that you have. Treat yourself essentially as a bill, the way that you would pay your car note, the way that you would pay your rent or your mortgage or your student loan. You got to pay yourself as if you are a bill.
I remember before I could get to, if you're like, I'm not able to do that, I remember one of the things I picked up in that book, and why I can remember so many tips from that book is beyond me, but it shows you Glenda Bridgeforth.
Right.
I got my money straight, Glenda Bridgeforth. Thank you very much, if wherever you are. But one of the things she said was, in the beginning, dollar bills that have your initials on them, save them. So every dollar bill has an initial. So if your initials are BKL, that every dollar bill that has a B, a K, and an L, pull it out of your wallet. Don't ever spend it and save it. Just take those out. And I remember getting so fascinated with that that I started saving everybody in the family's initials. So I, because mine had a double initial. My initials are DLL. So then I was like, well, I'm going to need somebody else's initials. So I started saving B's, K's, L's, C's.
J's.
And, you know, like I sort of did that. And I was surprised at how something so silly and so simple, I had a separate place in my wallet I would put, and then at the end of each week, I would go and deposit into my savings account, how that ended up accumulating as well.
That's a great point. I mean, that's how I basically used to pay my sorority dues before, you know, I was Diamond Life like I am now.
As am I.
Right.
Delta Sigma Theta.
I would literally take $12.50 every Friday and transfer that to my savings account, which ends up being about $50 a month. And then I'd have enough to, you know, have my, to pay my dues, my little local dues for the great sorority of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. All right. The other thing that I would say as it relates to savings is savings allows you to plan for risk. It allows you to plan for unexpected events in your life. Homies, trust me on this. You are going to have unexpected risk. What do they say? Life is what happens when you're planning something else. You're going to have a tire that blows out. You're going to have an appliance that goes out. You're going to have a family member that gets sick and you need to jump on a plane and go see them. So you, savings allows you to plan for unexpected risks that are going to happen in your life.
And I remember I got this advice from my very first partner I worked for on my very first day at lunch. It was my first day of work at the big firm. We were having lunch and he said, you're maxing out your 401k, right? Have you met with HR yet? Have you done your paperwork? Are you maxing out your 401k? And so, especially if you are new to work, so here's my philosophy about that. You've never made money before. You've been broke. All of the money is new. You can't miss money that you haven't had. When you get there and you get signed up, you should immediately implement Bemetra's tip of the systematic savings, and you should max out your 401k, especially if there is a matching contribution. So if you can't max out, then at least do a contribution up to the match.
Right, because most places are doing, I mean, like I think my first job did dollar for dollar up to 6%. By just contributing 6%, I was saving 12%. And so you don't want to leave that money on the table. The rule of thumb for savings is you want to have 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses set aside into some type of savings account. Now, for those of you who are saying, that's a lot of money, I can't do that, I would suggest that you do what I did, which my first goal was to get $1,000 saved. And then I said, okay, once I have $1,000 saved, I'm doing the systematic piece. And challenge yourself as you're trying to do the savings of not to buy anything optionally until you get the first $1,000 saved if you're starting from scratch. But the systematic savings thing will help you. And like Demetra said, I like to put it into the savings account because it never hits my checking account. And so I'm never tempted to actually spend the money, because I find that if the money is in my checking account, it will get spent somehow, some way.
And then I think another way is to try to put it in a savings account that's a little bit harder to get to and get the money out, as opposed to the one that's directly linked to your checking account that you can just on your phone transfer it back. It's just sort of that old school premise of the people who used to freeze their credit cards and they have to unfreeze them. It's the same idea. If it just takes you a half a day to get to it, or it's going to take 24 hours, you're just not going to get to the money unless you absolutely have to have it. And then if you're one of the homies and you actually have that luxury of getting bonuses, bonuses are a great way to start saving. So absolutely, if you haven't started saving and you get a bonus, you should plan to take some portion. And if you get a nice bonus, a big portion of it, and get your savings account going.
That's a great point. It's a way to jumpstart your savings. And okay, so we talked a little bit about savings. Why don't we move on to credit? My first piece of credit, especially for the homies, there's this credit myth that all credit is bad. And that is actually not true. Cash is not always king. I would say that most people who are fiscally fit, they actually use credit to their advantage, whether it be to get rewards, points, so they can get upgraded, cash back, but all the benefits that, for example, some of the credit cards have. I want to start from a very, what I like to call, Fisher Price Finance on what a credit score actually does.
But before she does any of this, I just want to remind everybody that this is not actual like financial advice. This is just our opinions. I got to be the lawyer on the broadcast and just remind everybody, this is just Demetra and Demetra like giving advice. This is not actual Series 7, no kind of like investment advice.
Great, great point, Demetra. I always got to be the lawyer. That's an important thing. A credit score, all it does is tells lenders what is the probability that you might pay late if they gave you credit over the next 2 years. So the most recent 2 years of activity count the most. So it's like, you know, think of it as an algorithm that they do. So if you have a 530 Beacon score, there's an 88% chance, something like that, that you're going to pay late within 2 years. If you have a 770 Beacon score, then there's like a 1.5% chance that you're going to pay late. And that's why people who have lower credit scores have higher interest rates, because they are at greater risk. I'm sure everybody already knows this, but I just want to thought it was some value and just kind of starting from a Fisher Price standpoint of what the credit score indicates. I talked a little bit about this. The fiscally fit homies use credit cards to gain rewards and perks. This is how you get your travel rewards, your hotel upgrades, cash back. And then one of the nice features that all credit card companies are required to do now is that they have to give you a statement at the end of the year organizing your spending by category, you know, food, recreation, travel. So you'll get a chance to see, did I really have to spend that much money on food, or did I mean to spend that much money playing golf? But they give you this nice pie chart that breaks it out by how you spent the money for the year on that particular credit card. I think it's a really nice feature.
No, I do. And I very much enjoy that, and usually take it to my accountant when I go to do my taxes as well, so that I can sort of be aware of where money went.
I would also say that to be fiscally fit, homies have to get out of the monthly payment mindset. I can't tell you how many people go to buy a car and they're like, well, what's my payment going to be? No, you want to know how much is that car actually going to cost you with the financing and whatnot. And I just want to share a couple of my personal tips that I do. So one of the things that I will do is I will sign up. For example, let's say I'm buying a car. I'll let them give me the 5-year repayment schedule. And then I might make the payment and calculate how much I need to pay for 3 years to have it paid off within 3 years. If you can't jump up and make that big of an adjustment, there's a little tip that you can do that works wonderfully. If you take 1/12 of that payment amount and pay that extra amount every month, then you basically pick up an extra payment, a full payment for the year. So instead of making 12 payments, you've made 13 payments. So for example, if your car note is $500, I don't know what car that would be now, but if your car note is $500, instead of paying $500 every month, which is the required amount, you pay 1/12 plus $500 or $542. And at the end of the year, you've made 13 payments instead of 12, and you're paying that debt off faster. It's a nice tip to weigh. You can do that with any kind of, you have a car note, you can do it with your mortgage, your student loans, whatever it may be. It's a way to pay the debt off faster without taking on a big, huge responsibility.
Right. And then when you get the car paid off early, then you take the $500 that you were paying every month. And I know Bimitra and I have done this many times over the years. And it's actually the way I've been the most consistent about savings is taking a bill that I was already paying, like a car note, and never, ever being like car note free, whoop, whoop, but immediately understanding that car is going to be paid off in August. September 1st, I already changed my deductions at work or deposits at work, and that $500 is automatically going into a new savings account or going into the savings account. And so now I know I am saving that money. And so that's immediately more savings to me, because I promise you this, I read an article one time in Fortune that said it takes us 5 years to adjust to a pay decrease. 5 years. Wow. If you make less money, it takes you 5 years to actually adjust your spending to it. It takes you 2 paychecks to adjust to any kind of raise. So any kind of new money you get, like you pay a car off, you get a raise, it's the first paycheck. By the time you get paid the second time, you are living off of the new money. So if you tell yourself, well, I'm just going to use this money for 4 months and then I'm going to start, you won't.
You'll never do it.
And I'm a living witness. You won't.
You'll never do it. And then hopefully your car will hold for you for 4 or 5 years. You'll never have to pay a car note ever again in life because you saved up the money or have a nice, healthy down payment to the next vehicle or whatever it is that you want to buy. The other thing I want to mention as it relates to getting fiscally fit is we haven't always gotten this right. We kind of talked about some of the things that we did wrong when we were younger homies. And even if you're not a younger homie and you're not fiscally fit, I would say mistakes happen. Use them as lessons that you learn and don't dwell in the past. So even if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're thinking, gosh, my credit score is a 530 today and I don't have any money saved, the good news is drive the car looking forward. Don't look in the rearview mirror. And if you are somebody that has a tremendous amount of credit card debt, you know, then go ahead and start the Dave Ramsey debt snowball effect. Was really effective for me, where you basically pay the minimum payment on all of the cars that you have except for the car with the smallest balance so that you can see progress. It's kind of like if you're cleaning your house and you clean one room at a time, you say, okay, the kitchen is clean, you know, that type of thing. But you always have an opportunity, new mercies, to get it right and start getting it right, you know, tomorrow.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to get some help. I mean, if you feel overwhelmed by information, and even after reading books, you still go see a financial advisor, sit down with somebody, help them get you on a plan, let somebody map some things out for you. There's nothing wrong with getting some help in this area.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, you want to be able to, you know, put yourself in a situation where you can plan for the future, plan for your retirement, you know, have sufficient insurance, you have kids, put together college savings. And then one of the things that we've seen really for the more established homies is they set up lifestyles in such a way that they have to stay in jobs sometimes where they're not learning and growing and feeling fulfilled because they've got a lifestyle that requires them to make a certain amount of money. And I know, Dimitri, you and I have talked a lot about this.
Yeah, I'm always so curious when people are telling me that they hate their job, yet they have this lifestyle that demands them to make money at a certain level. Because if you have to make money at that level and there's only so many jobs that pay that, and it's okay if you figure that out now, like later in life, then that's another reason to say, okay, I know that I want to make less money. I need to adjust my lifestyle in such a way. Because the thing, again, discipline is going to give you choices. If you're spending every single dollar that you make, you will be in the rat race, as they say, forever. And so the idea is to give you some freedom. Well, we hope these tips have been helpful. If you have any questions about anything that we've talked about today or want to see any other topic discussed, feel free to shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com. We are always grateful that you guys listen. We always appreciate that you listen and always are happy to hear from you. You can reach out to us at
corporatehomie.com. That's our website, and that's HOMIE.
Until next time.
Hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.